Brilliant. Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to be with you. Such a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, and such beautiful people. Nice to be with you and enjoy time with you. Let's get one thing out of the way. I apologize, I do have a southern accent. I was born just outside London in Croydon, but I then grew up in a place called Bedfordshire, again, way down south. But I've lived all my adult life in Manchester. Now, I know for you guys, Manchester is probably still the south. But to me, it's the north. It's the beginning of the north. And Pioneer, actually, Judith and I, the region that we cover goes from Anglesey in North Wales right up to Edinburgh. So it's quite a vast, trying to educate the southerners in the network, because they say, you know, like, oh, Berwick, yeah, that's your region, and you can just pop across. I'm like, well, actually, we can get to Southampton just as quickly as we can get up to Berwick. But it's such a joy to be with you up here. I've been really enjoying just seeing the countryside again. Recently, I was on a sabbatical and I walked St Cuthbert's Way. So it was great just to see some of the Northumberland countryside again and just bring me back to that place. And it's great to be with you. As Jonathan says, we've been meeting with Jonathan and Jenny and with Ben and Rachel and some of your other leaders just to explore whether actually the network that we're a part of, Pioneer Network, could be a really good fit for you as a church. And kind of come to the conclusion, yeah, actually, we think this is going to be really helpful and supportive. The point of being part of a network is to help us all to do what we're called to do, what we're called to do in terms of being a witness to the gospel of Jesus in the places where God has put us. We as a network are not about coming in and taking over and issuing directives or anything like that. We're about saying, well, actually, we think, you know, as well as putting genius in the local church, God also puts relationships beyond that local church to strengthen and to support. Yes, to keep it safe, to keep it healthy. Sometimes we need an outside perspective, don't we? Just to kind of like bring other thoughts and ideas. We need someone somewhere sometimes just to go when we've got concerns or, but more than that, it's about coming behind and coming underneath and just empowering and supporting and saying, what's God called us to do? And Pioneer North is about saying, well, actually, we believe that in the north of England and up into Scotland, God has got a real heart to move in our nation, to see things change, to bring his kingdom. And we're just excited to play our part in that. We know that Waypoint Church isn't the only church in the world, and we know that Pioneer isn't the only network in the world, but we know that we've got a part to play, and that's what it's about. So one of the things that we talked together when I talked to Jonathan was that it'd be good to share some of our values of Pioneer with you this one. But rather than kind of like go through those and with a kind of teaching session on each, we've only got half an hour together after all. I thought what I could do is look at a Bible passage together and just point out some of those values as we go. So just to give you a heads up what you're looking for, and I will point them out as we go, the four values at the core of who we are as a network of churches, the values that all the churches in Pioneer have said, yes, we think those things are important too. You can see them up here. Relational. We believe that relationship starts in God, that God is relationship. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's chosen to reveal himself to us as a relationship. And we think relationships at the heart of everything that we are and what we should do. Our gospel is all about bringing us back into relationship with God. And that works its way down to even things like, well, the way we think leadership should work is relationally. The way we think authority should work is relationally. It's all based on our relationships with God and with one another. The second one, missional, speaks for itself, but we believe that God has given us all a mission to take his gospel into the world, and that's got to stay at the heart of who we are as churches, that we're not just a little social club, but we are a people who have found an amazing relationship with God, who are now on a mission together to help other people find that same relationship. Thirdly, charismatic. That is to say, we believe that God wants to empower everything we are and everything we do by his Holy Spirit. That we can't do all of this in our own strength, but we need the Holy Spirit of God to help us. And fourthly, kingdom orientated. I wish we'd been able to find something a little bit more snappy to describe the last one. We have to have a hyphen in it as well. But that's about saying that we're focused on God's kingdom and not just on our own little local church or our own empire, our own organization, but it's all about God having his way in the world. So we'll look out for those things as we go through a passage of scripture together. So we're going to turn to John chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 1 to 14 together. John 14 and verses 1 to 14. Here we go. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Judith and I drove up yesterday from Whitby. We've been visiting Judith's mum, who lives in Whitby. And we drove up, and we didn't just arrive in Berwick and kind of like no one was there to meet us. And, you know, Jonathan, Jenny, Ben and Rachel, they hadn't just said, well, just find yourself somewhere to stay. Or we actually drove up to Ben and Rachel's and they prepared a lovely meal for us. And then they took us next door to Hugh and Margaret and we stayed over at their place and they prepared a room for us. You know, that's kind of normal, isn't it? When we have a guest, particularly if it's someone we like and we're not trying to get rid of, we try to prepare for them. We try to make space for them. We try to make them feel comfortable. That's kind of normal. Certainly, we hope within the church family that becomes normal, that we offer hospitality to one another. But you know what's not normal? What's not at all normal? What's actually pretty amazing, pretty outstanding when you think about it, is that God Almighty, creator of the universe, the maker and sustainer of all things, who is more awesome and powerful than we could ever imagine, that he would prepare a place for us. That he would be anticipating our arrival to be with him. That he would long to spend time with us. That he would prepare a meal, that he would prepare a table, that he would prepare a room, a place for us to stay. And of course, it's a metaphor, it's an image. He's speaking about drawing us into himself, into relationship with him, that we could spend forever in an amazing relationship with the God who loves us and who will never leave us and never forsake us and never let us down, that he's anticipated and excited about spending eternity with us. That's pretty amazing, right? But that's what Jesus tells us. In fact, in John 17, just before he was crucified, Jesus was pouring out his heart to his Father, and he was saying, I long for them to be with me where I am. I long for them to see my glory, the glory that you've given me. I want to draw them into the perfect relationship that we have. The God who loves you is anticipating your arrival to be with him forever. He's called you to himself so that he can spend eternity with you. So Jesus has gone on to get things ready. I love that picture. I love that image that Jesus is busy, making preparations. Just when you have a visitor, you might, I don't know, change the sheets. I hope you do. You might get the fresh towels ready. You might think about what food you're going to offer your guests. You might anticipate, again, especially if it's someone you like, you might anticipate and get excited about their arrival. Isn't it amazing to think that Jesus is anticipating your arrival? And when we look around and we realize just how many other people Jesus is expecting all over the world, don't worry, because he tells us in his Father's house are many rooms. Many, many rooms. There's room enough for all of us. I don't know where you've come from, what your situation is, what your background is. However much you may or may not have felt excluded from certain groups and clubs and cliques in the society that we live in your Father's house, there is space for you. There is a place for you. In God, there is enough space for you, exactly as you are, exactly who you are. He's made room for you. Now, Jesus has been warning, in the context that we arrive at this passage in, Jesus has been warning the disciples that he's going to be leaving them, that he's going to be crucified. But he's reassured them that he'll go and prepare a place for them, and that he'll come back to get them, to take them to be with him where he is. And he says, you already know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas speaks up. And I love Thomas because he's real. He doesn't pretend. He gives us a great example. Don't pretend in church that you understand when you don't. I love that Thomas just says, well, hang on a minute. We don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way to get to where you're going? And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Again and again, in various ways, Jesus has been telling his listeners that he has been sent by God to bring truth that will lead them into life. This is what we read all the way through, particularly in John's gospel, we discover this is what John's telling us about Jesus. He's the truth. He's the way that we can come to life in God. He's the way that we can know life in the way that God has always intended it. And in fact, Jesus has been doing what John refers to here as works, signs, miracles, wonders, just putting that truth on display, showing people that he's the way to find life in God. And so now he's making it really clear, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to know this eternal life, this beautiful relationship, life with God as it was always supposed to be, then I am the only way. Now, John doesn't use the word kingdom in his gospel here, but when we compare what we see here with the other three gospels, it's clear that the life Jesus is talking about is the life of God's kingdom. What we mean by that is where God rules and reigns. Whenever God is ruling and reigning, whenever things are happening the way that God intended and created them to be, we refer to that as his kingdom. It's him having his way in our world. In Luke 4:43, Jesus says he must preach the good news of God's kingdom because that's why he was sent. He says, the very reason I'm here is so that you can know that God's kingdom, God's rule, God having his way, things being the way God intended, it's actually available to you. It's come close, it's at hand. It seemed distant and far off. You were trapped in your own little world, doing your own little thing. But the whole good news that Jesus brings is that actually God's way of doing things is possible in our world. I've come to make it possible for you to live the way that God intended and to know the beautiful relationship with God that lies at the heart of that. So when Jesus sent out his disciples, it was the message of God's kingdom that he told them to proclaim. And when we read about the time after Jesus' resurrection, before he ascended into heaven and he spent 40 days with his disciples, and you'd think, wow, what would he choose to talk about in that time? Because he's got 40 days before he's going to leave them. What did he talk about? Well, it tells us at the start of the book of Acts, he talks to them about the kingdom of God. All about God ruling and reigning and having his way, making the earth more like heaven. Heaven coming into our world because Jesus taught his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we say that Pioneer is kingdom orientated, we mean we're not just focused on getting people to say a prayer, securing a place in heaven, and adding to our numbers. As amazing as that is, we mean that we're all about the life of God, the life of him ruling and reigning, coming into our world to make an impact. That actually Berwick-upon-Tweed and the surrounding areas, the surrounding region, might start to look different as more and more people live the life of God. As more and more people choose themselves to live under God's rule and reign, that we might actually start to see those ways transforming the world in which we live. To make an impact in our neighborhoods and our communities so that people can experience that truth, that God's way of doing things, that God's rule, that God's kingdom has come close to them and they can be a part of it too. So I trust that Waypoint Church and certainly Pioneer Network is not about building its own empire. We're all about the kingdom of God. And of course, what Jesus is saying in our passage is that the only way to enter into that kingdom, the only way to experience the life of that kingdom is through him. And that's a controversial claim. Many people object to that statement from Jesus. They say that all religions lead us to the same God with different names. But that's not what Jesus says. And if we didn't know Jesus, well, we might think that's a really arrogant thing to say. But the trouble is when we meet the Jesus of the Bible, we realize he's the furthest thing from arrogant. He's gentle and he's humble. He's a servant king. And remember, Jesus is not a guru, a clever religious thinker trying to show us the way to God. Jesus is God. Jesus is God himself, come to us as a man. Philip asks him, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus replies, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. This is very important to understand because Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God. You can look at him and you can see God. If we think we understand something about God and it contradicts who Jesus is, then we're mistaken in what we thought we understood. Does that make sense? You think you know something about God, but then you realize it contradicts the person of Jesus, then what you thought you knew, you were mistaken. If we think we've discovered something in the Old Testament or in the New Testament epistles and then we find out, no, it doesn't match up with who Jesus is, then we've misunderstood. We need to ask ourselves, is this truth consistent with the person of Jesus as revealed to us in the Gospels? Because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through him. As God the Son, Jesus shows us that he is in perfect relationship with God the Father. And the whole point of this passage is that God the Father and God the Son want to draw you and me into that same relationship. The same perfect relationship. The best ever Father-Son relationship that ever existed. God the Father and God the Son. The beauty, the perfection, the unparalleled love of that relationship. He says, I want to draw you into that relationship. Jesus wants us to be with him and the Father. And the way we enter into God's kingdom is through reconciliation with the Father, being made right in our relationship with God. So in Pioneer, we believe that everything comes down to relationship. Our relationship with God, and then as a follow-on from that, our relationship with one another. And we believe that the church then should operate out of relationship. And if we're honest, any of us who've been around in church for a long time and maybe had different experiences of churches, when things go wrong, it's normally because of relationship. That's what we've got to prioritize. That's what we've got to treasure. That's what we've got to cherish together in the community of God's people. When things come up that we maybe don't see the same way or maybe don't agree on, and we want to pull in our different directions, we have to remind ourselves God has joined us in relationship. We're a relational network. Of course, what Jesus says about him being the way means that no other religion or faith can show us the way to be with God as part of his kingdom for eternity. But that shouldn't make us feel superior to other faiths. That shouldn't make us feel smug and comfortable. That should make us want to share our faith. Imagine for a moment that you come across someone who is lost and they're desperately seeking to find their way to where they've heard there is shelter and refuge. They've heard that there is a Father that has a house with many rooms, and they're trying to find their way. They're lost, they're cold, they're afraid, and they're desperately looking for the right path. You'd think they were crazy if they weren't looking, right? If they were just standing there, just given up, well, that would be sad too. But you can't blame them for looking for a way to get to the house. And now imagine that you're just there, and you know the way, and you're just watching them. Imagine you're just there watching them, frantic, desperate with worry, not knowing the way to go, feeling at the end of their tether, and you're just watching them, thinking, well, I know the way. But you're not saying anything. We'd never do that, would we? We'd say, I know the way to where you need to get to. We cannot keep quiet about Jesus. And of course, in this world that we live in today, in this country, the sad truth is there are lots of people who aren't even looking. There are lots of people now who say, I'm not even interested in religion. I don't want anything to do with any of it. For whatever reason, for whatever they've experienced in their life, and they don't maybe even know that there is a house. They maybe don't even know that there is that safe place that they could go to. We can't keep quiet about Jesus and his gospel. This should make us want to share the good news. There is a house. There is a place where you can go. There is a place where you can be safe in relationship with God. And we know the way. That's why being missional is a core value for us in Pioneer. Our strapline is taking the gospel into new places and spaces. We just want in this nation and around the world. There are, by the way, Pioneer networks in quite a number of different nations. Those operate as independent kind of networks, but we make up one big family together. And wherever we are in the world, it's about saying, we know the way to a place where you can be safe, where you can be in relationship with God. And we want to show you the way. It's Jesus. I obviously don't know all of you here, and perhaps we have people amongst us here this morning who've never taken that decision to give their life to following Jesus. That's never said, do you know what? I believe you are the way. and I'm going to put my hope and my trust in you. Well, I want to give you the opportunity to do that even this morning. Maybe we could all just close our eyes for a moment. And if you are here this morning and something's just tugging at your heart and you've but maybe never quite come to that place of decision, there is a moment right now that you can say to God. Perhaps you're saying to him, do you know what, I just never even realized that you were there. Or perhaps you're saying to him, I'm really sorry that I turned my back on you and pursued other things and went in a different direction. But either way, you're saying to him in this moment, I'm sorry for living my life without you. I'm sorry for living my life outside of a relationship with you. I want you to forgive me for that because I want to live the life that you created for me. I want to be part of this beautiful kingdom, this beautiful goodness and love and peace and joy that comes from a relationship with you. So I'm asking you to forgive me for living my life without you. And I'm committing my life in this moment to living my life your way, to following you, knowing that I can have an eternal relationship with you as my God. If you prayed along those lines in this moment, then I know that Jonathan and Jenny or Ben and Rachel or many of the other people here would love to talk to you afterwards, would love to just share a bit more with you and help you to get started on the most incredible journey of following Jesus. But even in this moment, if you've prayed that prayer, he forgives you and he holds out his arms to you and he says, welcome home, welcome home. There's a place that he's preparing and you might have to wait a while for that. But even now he says, welcome home, welcome into my family. We have to be a missional people, constantly giving people the opportunity to respond to the truth about Jesus. Of course, Jesus says, if you don't believe me, then just look at the evidence from the signs, from the works that he's been doing. Which brings us to the importance of signs and miracles and other kinds of demonstrations of God's kingdom, God's rule, his mercy, his justice, his love and his peace in action in our world. Signs and miracles, as well as acts of compassionate service, are all about showing the truth of who Jesus is. They're like waymarkers. Different waypoints along people's journey, pointing them towards Jesus. Showing the truth that Jesus is sent by God to make a way for us to be with him. Because it's by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, God's anointed one, who points the way to God, that people can enter into the life of God's kingdom. And that's what we want. That's what we need. Your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues in the workplace, your family, they all need to believe that Jesus is the way to God. They need to believe that to find life in him. And so we need to be a sign to that truth. And that's why you're called to do the works that that Jesus did, the works of God in Jesus' name. And so in John 14, 12 to 14, we read that amazing passage where Jesus says, if you just believe in me, you'll do the works that I've been doing and even greater works than these. And you can pray for anything in my name and I will do it. And Christians sometimes get tempted to take those verses out of context. But actually, it's right here in the context of being a sign to Jesus, who is the only way to find that place of safety and refuge in God, that Jesus says, I'm going to do all kinds of works through you. He says you can do them because I'm going to the Father. And what the Bible teaches us is that Jesus went to the Father so that he could pour the Holy Spirit out on his church, so that he could send the Holy Spirit so that we could carry on doing what he did in our world. And so in John 20 and 21 and 22, Jesus says to his disciples that I'm sending you in the same way that the Father sent me. And then it says with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we're told that we will be his witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Which is why as Pioneer, we list being charismatic as a core value. We're saying everything we do, all of this mission that we're about, our whole lives are supposed to be a sign. It's not just in the moment when you meet someone on the street and you're terrified because you know this is probably a moment when I should share the truth about who Jesus is, and you get all nervous and tongue-tied and am I going to talk about it or not? And maybe if you're like me, you've missed opportunities sometimes and then walked away and thought, oh, I should have talked to them. It's not just about those moments. It is about those moments. But actually, it turns out, it's about every moment of our lives. The way we do everything in life. The way I do being a parent. The way I do being a husband. The way I do being in the workplace. The way I do going shopping. The way I do my worship. The way everything ends up being a sign to who Jesus is. The fact that he is the way to a relationship with God that will last for eternity. And so everything I do needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what we mean when we say about being charismatic, not just putting a hand in the air in a worship service or swaying about while the music's playing, but actually everything about life being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we want to be relational, we want to be missional, we want to be charismatic, and we want to be kingdom orientated, but not just so that we can list off clever values, but so that we can truly be part of God's worldwide glorious family of misfits, of broken people who have found relationship with God and who give their lives to living out of that relationship and to allowing their lives to be a witness to that relationship to the people all around them. And so I believe that we can do each other good, that we can learn from you and the things that you've been learning as a community. You can bring perspectives on things and add things into the network. And I believe that we can strengthen you as well. And together we can carry on this mission together. Amen? Amen. God bless you.